And to finish, of course, last year you reached the finals. Now you have the crowd that they know you a little bit better. Do you feel connected with the crowd? Do you hear them when they cheer for you? How does it feel on the court? Because sometimes people think they don't hear us. You hear them, right?
Yes, of course. It's been great. I mean, I have a great atmosphere, great experiences here on this court, and the French fans are treating me very well. So thank you very much, and yeah. I hope I can stay one more week to feel even more and more every day I come back here.
You're almost like a veteran already, Casper.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Enjoy your day. Casper Ruud, mesdames et messieurs, qualifié pour les quarts de finale de Roland Garros.
Tight match. Mm-hmm. What do you think worked better today compared to your final in Geneva, Nicolas?
It was obviously the conditions here are a bit slower, so that's, I guess, helps me a little bit. But he's playing really aggressive. He's probably gained even more confidence after Geneva and here winning matches. So the goal was to sort of try to stop this wave that he's currently on, and I was able to do so. Very happy to get through in straight sets. There was three very, very close and tough sets, so happy that all of them went in my favor. And the margins were a bit on my side today, here and there, and in the most important points I was able to dig deep and fight back in the second and third. I was on a break in both sets, but very fortunate to pull through those sets, and I'm very happy to have sort of stopped his wave of wins.
You spoke the other day about how last year and the two slam finals and all changed your life a little bit in terms of being recognized. Mm-hmm. And you said especially around tournaments, but yep. I was wondering if away from tournaments in a place like this or New York or whatever city, you can take a walk and be unrecognized at this point still.
Some evenings, yes. Some evenings, no. It's a little... I mean, I'm not any, like, I don't consider myself like a world superstar or anything, but some evenings people who are here to watch tennis, they ask for a picture, and some evenings I can go unbothered. So I guess both yes and no, but after the final last year and in New York, I was asked more obviously to have a picture than others, but nothing crazy, and I think that's nice. I think people are pretty respectful this way. Like I said, I'm not any big time superstar as a movie star, rock star, or anything. So I think it's comfortable. I can walk around very comfortably.
You had some troubles at the beginning of the season. You had good moments on clay, almost great moments, maybe in Roma. But now, here in Roland Garros, it seems that you are very close to your best level. So how would you compare your level of tennis now, comparing to last year, the French Open, where you reached the final against Rafa?
Well, I think last year I was playing every match like freely and quite pressureless because I had came from semis in Rome and finals in Geneva. So my mentality was sort of like, I've done really well anyway. So whatever happens here happens. If I lose early, I'm still going to go home, and I won the tournament, the week before. But this year I felt a little more pressure, obviously, because I needed to try to sort of defend my final spot. That's been on my mind, and I haven't done as well in other tournaments, so I know that like every match that I can win, and every 8 points on the rankings that I can sort of try to gain, it can be important for the rest of the year. So I felt a little more pressure this year, especially in the earliest matches, so I don't feel like I have played my best maybe tennis yet, but at the same time I'm playing many opponents who play very aggressively and they play fast and sort of give me no rhythm. So today it was just about trying to stay there and try to serve well when you could yourself, and if there was a chance to break, try to get it. So I think I was able to break him many times when I really had to, which was great and in a confidence sort of booster. But I think my next match is going to be a little bit more playable from the baseline, and I think the game will be a little different from this match, so I'm going to try to prepare for that and hopefully bring my A game, because whoever I play is going to be a tough one.
You mean whether it's Cerundolo or Runa?
Yeah, whether both of them are great clay court players, and I played them quite recently, both of them in Rome, actually. I beat one and I lost to the other. So whoever it's going to be a tough one.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Match points.
The headphones are off.
He's gone.
He's got his accreditation. He's taken his phone. He's off.
Served down the tee. And there it is. Game, set, match. To Sasha Zverev. 2 hours, 17 minutes on the clock. 6-1, 6-4, 6-3. The two-time Roland Garros semi-finalist comfortably through this round of 16.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be back at 8 p.m. local time for the night session.
Ready?
Radio Roland Garros.
Night sessions.
It's start.
Radio Roland Garros.
Night sessions on Radio Roland Garros.
Wonderful!
Well, a very warm welcome to the night session on Tuesday here at Roland Garros. And we are looking forward to this one. It is Carlos Alcaraz, the world number one, against Stefanos Tsitsipas, the number five seed. Tsitsipas, former finalist here. Alcaraz, the man that everyone thinks, well, this could be his first Roland Garros title. We don't have Nadal this year. We've got Alcaraz. Can he go on to win his first Roland Garros title? We will see. The players are going to be walking out in about 15 minutes or so, just over at 8:22. Before then, we will hear from both players ahead of this semi-final. The conditions are perfect. There's a little bit of a breeze. It is beautiful blue sky. And, I think the crowd is starting to build up inside court Philippe Chatrier. And by the time they get going, this place is going to be rocking. Simon Cambers and Courtney Walsh with you for the build-up to this match before Marcus Buckland and Gigi Salmon come in to take over. Courtney, I mean, you're looking forward to this one, of course, but what do you expect from both players?
I'm fascinated to see how Tsitsipas attacks Alcaraz. I think he's had a good tournament. He's a finalist at Grand Slam level twice. He's a finalist here. He's played particularly well in the past. But facing a player whose reputation, I think, for a man who is so young still, the world number one, a US Open finalist, it's unusual for Tsitsipas. I think he talked about being usurped as the young gun on the block by these guys coming through, and Alcaraz clearly is that man. I'm really fascinated as to how he will approach it.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because on paper, Alcaraz is the favourite. Tsitsipas has looked pretty good here, but they've played each other four times. And it doesn't read very well if you're a Tsitsipas fan because Alcaraz has won all four. The first time they met was in the US Open in 2021, which was a classic. Alcaraz won in a final set tiebreak, 7-5 in the tiebreak. They've played three times since, once on hard, twice on clay. Most recently in Barcelona this year, where Alcaraz won 6-3, 6-4. And he is 20 years old, Carlos Alcaraz, world number one. And he has that ability to sort of engage a crowd before he even does anything, which is absolutely remarkable. It's something that is a huge advantage to him. He is loved by everyone who seems to watch him, but also by the players. And you know, surely when you have that sort of advantage, that gives him massive, it's a massive edge for him.
Absolutely. He's already a favourite. We talk about players who are identified as potential stars or potential multiple Grand Slam champions of the future. And it's a hefty billing to live up to. It's a significant burden on them. Now, we know he's only won the one Grand Slam, the US Open, but what an amazing Grand Slam performance it was to win night every second night, in such scintillating fashion in front of a raucous crowd every night in New York sort of 9 months ago. To be the world number one and to do it as he has done since he's attained that ranking has been great. But the other thing is, when you look at him, we talk to him, we're impressed. We go to press conferences, you watch him on the side of the court. Had the fortune of seeing him walk through just the press box the other day after he'd come from a training session, and we saw Djokovic do it a few days as well, and occasionally it's a bit of a shortcut for those who are listening
through the media room.
Through the media room. And you look at him, and he is built like a bull. He's just a formidable human being.
He seemed to arrive on the scene already fully formed. He's a bit like Boris Becker, you know. It's a man in a young man's body, the body of a man for a young man, which is it is remarkable. It doesn't happen very often, and you know, he's just able to do everything on the court. He seems to really enjoy it, which is fantastic to watch, because you know, he, even when he loses a point, sometimes he smiles. It was a great point, well played. You know, it's very refreshing to see him, and he engages that crowd. They get behind him very quickly. I think he's going to have the crowd on his side tonight. Tsitsipas is a popular player. He's a good, attractive player to watch, but he's going to have to play near perfect tennis to get anywhere against Alcaraz, who, as I said, has this record against him, 4-0. He's only, in the last three meetings, he's only dropped one set. So, you know, the history is with him. It's just a case of how he handles the occasion. There is some pressure on him because he is number one. He is chasing this first Roland Garros title. And in some ways, there's not so much pressure on Tsitsipas because I don't think that many people think he's going to win. But, you know, we can talk all we like about Stefanos Tsitsipas. Let's have a listen to what he thinks about how he's been playing and what he's going to do against Carlos Alcaraz.
Well done, Steph. You obviously set up great quarterfinal matchup against Carlos, so can you say a few words about that one?
The clash we've been all waiting for. I think I said everything I had to say. I mean, I think everyone was expecting that, weren't they? And it's here, so it's about to... It's game on.
Stefanos, you seem very focused today. Just wondering how you feel about your performance today and just in general, just these last few rounds.
Today's performance was good, actually. I'm not really sure how the first game was, because that didn't feel that great coming from my end. But I picked up fast. I kept the focus locked in. And, I felt like I read his game at some point. I felt like I was getting into the match stronger and stronger. More games and more opportunities. I got to kind of hit balls and stay in rallies and read rallies. I got a sense of... How I can win more points against him, and it helped a lot. I was serving not that well in the beginning, but I picked it up fast and quick, and started just serving precisely and just effortlessly, felt like at the time. And I think just that added to my game after, like, my whole game became better just because of my serve.
I just want to know or ask you, what do you think you need to do to beat Carlos on, I think it's Tuesday?
Yes, no. I need to play good tennis. You know, Carlos is someone that keeps the intensity high at all times. He's someone that is not going to give you gaps where his attention is not there. He's very hyper. He's very energetic, and you can see that on the court, and he adds a lot of that into the rallies and into his just rituals when he is out there playing the game. He has a lot of that when he plays. I think it has helped him a lot. Of course, he has that smile that he said, of course, obviously helps him a lot. And he right now is one of the biggest obstacles and challenges for any player to compete against. And it pushes us all to be better. And, rivalries like this, they are kind of the toughest thing you can get in our sport, and getting to play him as much as possible will eventually give you more chances, perhaps, to beat him if that makes sense. So, you know, I'm looking for those chances myself.
What does, if you end up playing him at night? They haven't made the schedule yet, but what does playing at night here do to your game? How does it affect you? Do you like it?
That's a good question, actually. I haven't thought about it. I can't answer whether that would be more beneficial for me or him. I quite frankly don't know. I don't think I've played him at night. No, US Open was not a night session. It was more like an afternoon session.
I was thinking more of the clay
And the bounces and everything.
The clay, the balls, and your game. Not just sort of what it does to you specifically.
I like when it's bouncy. I like when the ball has acceleration and more of a pop. when we play. But at night, you know, it's you know, the ball obviously doesn't bounce as much as it does on, during the day. I honestly don't know. I'm ready to play both. I don't have a preference. If night session happens, I will still need to find ways to bring my A game against him, yeah, and do the best I can.
Well, night session is happening. It's happening very shortly because we're getting very close to the time when Carlos Alcaraz and Stefanos Tsitsipas will be walking out here onto court Philippe Chatrier for the evening match that, as Stefanos Tsitsipas said there, everyone's been waiting for. I think everyone's also waiting for a Carlos Alcaraz-Novak Djokovic semi-final. Djokovic having won earlier in four sets against Karen Khachanov. So he's done his bit, and Alcaraz will be looking to do his bit. But it's interesting, isn't it? It is a night match, and the conditions do change here, Courtney.
They do. They become a little slower, which happens at every night match around the world. The sun goes out, the bit of the heat goes out of the court. Also, the balls, just when the air becomes cooler, it just takes a little bit more off the ball in terms of flying through the court. Tsitsipas said there that he has to play good tennis to beat Carlos. I think he has to play exceptional tennis. Speaking to a few players over the last 10 days, they talk about the balls at Roland Garros being a bit heavier.
Yep.
And it favouring people who can really hit through the ball, people who can muscle the ball. We all know that they can hit the ball unbelievably well, just strike the ball with such power, but there are some who can strike it with that little bit extra, that little bit extra punch. I think Carlos is that person. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure Stefanos has that capabilities, but I hope I'm really hopeful of seeing him play an amazing match because he's capable of the most exceptional tennis. So he's got creativity, he's got flair, he's got some variety. Let's hope that he can deploy all of that and really make this an amazing quarterfinal.
Well, if it's anything like that first US Open match that Stefanos Tsitsipas mentioned, it'll be an absolute classic because that was a brilliant encounter. The first time we really got to see Alcaraz competing on that big stage against a big player and really turning it on and beating Tsitsipas in the end in the final set tiebreak. They both... What I like is they both like to come forward. They both have variety, as you said. Alcaraz, we know, has great hands, lovely drop shots. Tsitsipas, too, has got a good volley, good technique on the volley. He will look to come forward. It's just going to be really hard for him because Alcaraz covers the court so well. I mean, I'm not sure there's anyone who's a faster athlete out there at the moment.
Just astonishing court speed, but also an astonishing eye for what's about to happen next. We talked about Federer, for example, playing a tennis point three shots ahead in a rally, and I'm sure that Novak does that as well, and I'm fairly sure that Rafael Nadal is setting up the point like a chess master when he's out there dominating on centre court at Roland Garros. Alcaraz seems to have those attributes. He does seem to know what's going on, and that helps facilitate how quickly he can get to the ball.
He's got Juan Carlos Ferrero, the former Roland Garros champion, in his corner as his coach. It is an incredible relationship between the two. It's a little bit like father and son as well as coach and pupil. Alcaraz really looks up to Juan Carlos Ferrero, who looks like the calmest man in the world in the benches. And who wouldn't when you're watching Alcaraz play the way he plays this game? But there is a little bit of pressure on Alcaraz. He does have this moniker of the number one on his back. He is chasing the title. There's no Nadal. People expect him to step up. Let's hear what Carlos Alcaraz has had to say about this quarterfinal matchup with Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Well done, Carlitos. Was this your best match of the tournament so far?
Yeah, I think so. I think this was my best match in the tournament so far. I think I played a great level.
Carlos, you are so incredible quick on the court. I wonder if in the last years you made any tests like a 60-meter sprint or 40 meters, and what was the result in? Also, what was the time?
I'm working a lot in the sprint. You know, I do a lot of sprint, like 30, 40 meters, but I don't count the time, honestly. So I don't know the time that I would take if I made a race, you know, into the 30, 40 meters. I don't know, honestly, but I consider myself fast.
For a good while, you have had Juan Carlos as your wonderful coach, and you began early with your father. But could you talk a little about Kiko Navarro? Did he play a role in your career and learning the game? And could you just talk about him for me a minute, please?
Well, obviously he was an important person for me when I was young. But I started playing tennis with my father. That's obviously. But I had a first coach named Carlos Santos as well, and I work with Kiko and Carlos as well together when I was young, and both was a really important person for me that I learned a lot from them, you know. But it was someday that I had to move on. I had to, you know, improve a lot. And he was Juan Carlos, the person. But of course, I learned a lot from that guys.
I wanted to ask you about your next round opponent. It could be Tsitsipas. He's, I think, up by a couple of sets. You have a great record against him. Do you think, in a sense, that his game plays into you in the way that you play? And if you could talk a little about your next round.
Well, first of all, he has to win. It's not over, you know. In a Grand Slam, everything can happen. So he has to win first. So, but I can talk about the other guy, Ofner, because I've never played against him. But if I played against Stefanos, it could be a great match. You know, we have played great matches. I won every match that we've played, but it doesn't mean that I'm gonna win every match that we are gonna play. So I have to be really focused. He's a really tough opponent, but of course, his game is a good game for my style.
Well, here we go. We are ready for the walk on.
Stefanos Tsitsipas will be walking out first. Ici en 2021, il est grec, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Tsitsipas walks out with, as all the players have been doing all week and a half, with a mascot. Two bags on his shoulders. Shortly, we will hear Carlos Alcaraz walk out. Two have been gladiatorial behind the scenes, bouncing up and down in the corridors.
Celui qui n'a que 20 ans, déjà vainqueur d'un grand chelem, l'US Open l'an passé. Il est espagnol numéro 1 mondial, Carlos Alcaraz.
Huge cheer for Alcaraz. Very popular already everywhere he goes in the world. I'm pretty sure that the crowd are going to love watching him play tonight. As we said, absolutely perfect conditions. A bit of a breeze, but nothing to worry the two players too much. And I think we're going to be in for a bit of a treat. These two love to play attacking tennis. They've got touch, they've got feel, they've got speed, they've got power. They've got everything, really. And it promises to be a fantastic encounter as they try to get through to the semi-finals and line up a clash with Novak Djokovic, who got past Karen Khachanov earlier today in four tough sets. But these, you've got to remember, the winner of this match and Djokovic have 2 days off before they play their semi-final, so they can really lay it all on the line tonight, can Alcaraz and Tsitsipas. They don't have to worry about trying to wake up tomorrow morning and play again or get ready for 2 days. They've got an extra day off. Tsitsipas is shaking the hand of the mascot that came out with Hello. Carlos Alcaraz as they have the photos taken at the net with the umpire.
So after the coin toss, we're going to do a photo, please, with the kids this way. Yeah. Okay. You will be orange for the towels. You will be gray for the towels. Remember, you have the time also in front for the serve clock. Any questions? No? No? So she wanted me to ask you, Carlos, player or ball?
Player.
Player?
Alcaraz jumping up and down in Tsitsipas's face, basically, at the
receive.
Net. Very much like Nadal with Good. His sprint back to the back of the court.
Please.
And they just have a little couple of nice little photos taken with the mascots, which is a really nice touch that they've been doing all the way through this tournament. And
And now we are getting ready for... Alcaraz just ran back to the baseline, almost fell over. Almost slipped on the clay. That's not a good start. But we're in for a treat. And well, just a few last thoughts, Courtney, before we leave, before the Dream Team take over. What's, I mean, at the beginning of every match, you know, it's a five-set match, so there is time to work your way in. But, you know, when it's intense, so I think we heard Tsitsipas say that Alcaraz doesn't give you any gaps. He's unlikely to have too many dips in a match. So from a Tsitsipas point of view, is the first set even more important than it is for Alcaraz?
Oh, I think the opening service game is critically important. The opening couple of service games to really go with him. And if he can press on return as well early, perhaps seed a hint of doubt in Alcaraz's mind when you've lost four outings to a player of the calibre and reputation of Alcaraz, someone who's looked exceptionally comfortable here throughout the fortnight. Critical for Stefanos to just make a little inroad early on. Chetrier looks like a Monet. There are some Spanish flags waving in the crowd. We've seen a Greek flag on the other side of the court, so he will have some support. If he can get away to a flyer, who knows what will happen?
Absolutely. It says, we keep saying it promises to be a cracker. I mean, it's two great players, which is a great start. It's a great scene. It's a great arena. And they're both playing well. Alcaraz having taken his place as the number one seed in a Grand Slam for the first time. Missed Australia, of course, because he was injured. But it was great to see him come back be ready for this. But he's had a very good year already, winning four titles. Such a good player on every surface, but he just moves so well that, you know, clay will suit him particularly well. Tsitsipas also a great mover, and he trusts himself, he backs himself, he is going to believe that he can do this. And it was interesting to hear Tsitsipas say, you know, the more I play Alcaraz, the better, because I have more chance of winning. I mean, I don't know if I believe that, but it's a good mindset to have.
Well, no one beats Tsitsipas 16 times in a row. Yeah, exactly. Would be one way. Now, it could be that no one beats Tsitsipas four times in a row if it's tonight's the opportunity. It's a discussion for another day in terms of the attractiveness with which these men play tennis. But to watch their all-round skill, the ability to get to the net, the ability to punch volleys, but the ability to grind as well, to construct points from the baseline. They are fabulous players to watch, and I am hoping that we see a quarterfinal in which all facets of their ability are on show.
Alcaraz has dropped just one set on his way through to the last eight, losing a set to Tara Daniels, surprisingly, in the second round before going through. But he's beaten some very good players in Denis Shapovalov and Lorenzo Musetti, the young Italian, in the last round. And Tsitsipas, well, he began, but he also played doubles here with his brother. But he has been pretty good. He dropped a set to Yuri Vesely, tight fourth set that he won to get through that match. But since then, he's been, well, pretty much perfect. He's won through in straight sets. So he, too, has only dropped one set. Neither of them have been on court for much longer than the other. They're not exhausted. They're ready. And so physically, there's no reason why either of them should be struggling. We talked off air, me and Courtney and I, about the fact that Tsitsipas hasn't won a title yet this year. He's had a shoulder injury to sort of overcome. It took him quite a while. He was sort of half playing through it, but he seems fully fit now, which is good.
Well, and the other thing is, he made a Grand Slam final with a shoulder injury. Yeah. And what we've seen from both men is that they started perhaps a little off. Not off, but their standards is so high as to be exceptional. But they have worked into this tournament to prime themselves for moments like this. Yeah. They are both playing superb tennis. I suspect it will be an outstanding quarterfinal, and I really hope it is, because if we get a great match tonight, it sets the scene for what could be a spectacular semi-final in 3 days' time.
Yeah, they can't think about that yet, though. They've got to concentrate on this match, both of them. You know, if Alcaraz thinks, well, I'm, you know, looking forward to this Novak clash in the semi-finals, he might find himself come unstuck against a player of the caliber of Stefanos Tsitsipas. Two Grand Slam finals to his name in terms of Grand Slam experience, vastly more experienced than Carlos Alcaraz. But Alcaraz is the new star on the block, the new kid, and the new number one, and the one everyone wants to knock off. But It's just remarkable, isn't it? We have 14 times where Rafael Nadal wins. He's unable to play this year through injury. Hopefully he'll be back next year. But suddenly another Spaniard comes along. And it is a young man who everyone seems to love watching and who has joy on his face when he's playing, which is great to see. And we are just about ready to go. And it's time to hand over to Marcus Buckland.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Courtney. Good evening, everybody. The boys have set the scene perfectly, and we are poised to get underway, and we will be joined by the Empress as soon as she's polished off a couple of loose chunks of pineapple. Forehand return from Alcaraz, cross-court on the forehand side from Tsitsipas, who then takes a half volley off his baseline. Well, this is not bad for starters. Backhand to backhand, the slice on the backhand from Tsitsipas. Big forehand from Alcaraz, it's a winner. If that's a sign of things to come, settle back and enjoy a feast.
I mean, that was the first point. That was ridiculous. Just incredible racket head speed from Alcaraz. And Tsitsipas will just have to... I mean, he said he had to play good tennis. I think he's got to play near perfect tennis, at least in three of the five sets. Maybe not all the way through.
Yeah, well, of course, the head-to-head does not make good reading for the Greek, who responds with an ace right down the middle.
Yeah, 4-0. Alcaraz having beaten him first time in that US Open match that went to a final set tiebreak, and beaten him in Barcelona in each of the last 2 years. So, yeah, it doesn't bode well for Tsitsipas.
Yeah, quarterfinals last year in Barcelona, and Tsitsipas guides a beautiful backhand up the line for another winner. Lost that quarterfinal in Barcelona last year in three sets, was beaten in the final in Barcelona this year in straight, 6-3, 6-4. Alex Krejci has arrived. He's next door giving us a nice wave and a smile. And he's watching too as Tsitsipas produces another ace down the middle.
I'm pretty sure Alex Krejci talks to people later on. He said, you know, I was in the studio next to Marcus Buckland last night.
Of course he does. he's always name-dropping old Alex. So, 40-15. Gigi's not happy with the first set of headphones she's put on. There's another fantastic serve from Tsitsipas.
Well, if he's going to have a chance tonight, he's got to serve well. He's got to keep Alcaraz at bay. It's a little bit like the Hashanov-Djokovic match that was on earlier, where Hashanov was serving brilliantly first two sets, did keep Djokovic back, but in the end, Djokovic won. But if Tsitsipas wants to have a chance, he needs to get a lot of free points and just give himself a bit of a breather here and there, because he's going to be under a lot of pressure.
And may I say, Simon, how much I enjoyed it. I went back to the hotel for a little catch-up. It's been a very busy few days for me in particular.
He's been sleeping all afternoon.
So I went back, I lay down. No, I was doing my research for this evening, and I was listening to Simon and to Courtney.
It's exactly as I thought. It'd be three highlighted lines. And he would say, I've done my research. I know you, Buckland. Simon, thank you.
I've been foiled. Oh, dear. It was great listening to Simon and to Courtney, and then to Chris and to Lady E, and then of course Simon and the other Courtney took us through to tonight. And the Empress is here. Her sedan chair developed a slight fault on the way up to the fifth floor.
It's a little bit of a breeze this evening. You just see the back of the Alcaraz shirt fluttering in that breeze, and more people. How are they coming in after the first game? Big serve down the tee, and then the slice just floats over. Now Chris has to scoot up to that, and then he scampers back behind the baseline, and then down to the feet of Alcaraz, inside him with the forehand. Tsitsipas being pushed further and further back. Alcaraz is coming further and further forward. He plays the volley, scooped up by Tsitsipas. It finds the court. It's sort of flat hit back and long. As you said, the points we've already seen, we're 3 minutes in. This could be a very special evening.
Yeah. They have both hit the ground running, and Tsitsipas did really well in a rally that threatened to see him overwhelmed by the Spaniard, but a beautifully executed lob had Alcaraz flying back, and he couldn't quite control the forehand from behind his baseline.
10 seconds on the shot clock to get the ball away. Alcaraz serves up, serves out wide. The blocked backhand back. Stefan. So I was trying to get his attention quietly.
Quicker, Stefan.
No, it wasn't that. It was just... Oh, was that the phone?
Yes.
Oh, crikey. It's because you rushed my pineapple, my dinner. That's what it was.
Where's her padded cushion, Stefan?
I'm sitting on that. 15 all. Love one. Alcaraz serving towards the presidential tribune.
I can give you some stats and bits and pieces about how they prepared for today, which actually is quite interesting.
Stalker alert.
Yep. That's how he spent the day. Served down the tee, the backhand through the middle of the court. Alcaraz inside in, the winner. This a repeat of the Barcelona final this year that Alcaraz won his first sets. So Alcaraz arrived at 147 on site, and I kept saying, "Has Tsitsipas arrived?" And he hadn't arrived. I thought that's rather curious. You get to 6 o'clock, and he still hasn't arrived. I thought, but that is really odd, because you have the gym session, you have the practice. Alcaraz at 30-15 serves out wide, backhand wide. 6:45 he arrives. And it turns out that while Alcaraz was out on court, it was a full house of spectators, warming up, practicing, smiling, photos, all the bits and pieces. Stefanos Tsitsipas spent the day at Jean-Bois, the training facility across the road.
Uh-huh.
So, which is obviously thinned out now. We're at the business age. Sure. Every server from Alcaraz close out to 15, but it's interesting the contrast of how they prepared. You know, Alcaraz was in the gym with his team, he was chatting to people, but for Tsitsipas it was just himself and Father Apostolos at Jean-Bois.
Well, I guess it's perfectly within his rights to want to stay out of the focus, out of the spotlight for as much as possibly. He knows the pressure is on tonight. The head-to-head record, as we mentioned a couple of times, is not good, having lost all four. So he's got to do something a little bit different. And maybe that was part of the plans. And he's coming in now, Zijin. Just missing with that backhand volley.
He did so much right in that point. He built the point. He got himself forward into an aggressive attacking position. But, as you say, just a little bit wide on that volley.
I mean, I find it fascinating because it's an individual sport and you've got to go head-to-head so many times with the same opponents. And how do you try and erase memories of what's gone before? In fact, you don't want to erase them because to a degree, of course, you've got to build on what didn't happen, find the solutions. That's what Rafa always says. But inevitably, there must be a slight feeling of inferiority when you go into a match having lost all four so far.
Well, don't they always say you learn more in defeat than victory? Inside in from Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas with a forehand cross court. He's been known to go on holiday on his own to reflect on defeats as he nets off the backhand, and it's left 30. Two holidays he's gone on his own, both in the Caribbean. There's the one that was much publicised because he talked about it. He said there was one more trip on his own to a Caribbean island.
But do you think people leave him alone? He must get recognised. It must be difficult.
Not necessarily, because I think if you went to, there's lots of different Caribbean islands, if you went to somewhere quite exclusive and remote, I think even if they did recognise you, they wouldn't be allowed to approach you.
Yeah.
Love 30. Served down the tee, the backhand is spun deep and the backhand is flicked through the middle of the court. Oh, you're kidding me. Thought he had missed. Nards, it's past the stop the point. He's marked the mark. Confirmation that no call came. But he was adjudged. It was just being shown that the ball, the spray of the ball, we see the Hawkeye replay and it did indeed miss. They don't have that luxury. So 15-30, Tsitsipas gets himself on the board in this third game. Game of peace, serves down to back through the middle of the court, mid-court ball, off forehand. Tsitsipas comes forward, floats the volley. Deep, too deep.
Yeah, that is two backhand volleys that he hasn't quite got right. And Courtney was saying at the start of this match, oh, so important for Stefanos Tsitsipas, where he actually began it brilliantly with his opening service game. But the hand claps will tell you we've reached the first significant moment in the night's entertainment. He sits pass at 1-1 and facing two break points, 15-40.
Bounces the ball on the baseline, little look up, sits pass, settles himself. 8 minutes on the match clock, serves out wide and misses, not by much. Going out wide to the Alcaraz forehand, Alcaraz in the green and white ensemble that I think Courtney said sort of resembles a leak, but a leak in a good way. Double-handed backhand off the second serve is deep. That's the backhand side of Alcaraz. Clips top of it, slows down Tsitsipas to redirect to go cross-court with the forehand. Short ball for Tsitsipas to attack him. Tsitsipas comes forward. Ball drifts long. Aggressive point by Tsitsipas coming forward, putting the pressure on and saving the first break point.
Yeah, and it's what he's got to do. It's good to see. And, you know, the next time he gets a backhand volley in an awkward position in the forecourt, he's just got to trust himself, trust the process. He's a fantastic player. And if he's negative in any way tonight, if he sits back and tries to soak up the Alcaraz pressure, then he may as well go to that Caribbean island right now.
second breakpoint opportunity. Third game. Clips the top of the net and drifts wide. Alcaraz catches the ball and hands it to the ball boy at the back of the court. Gets back into position. Serve goes down the tee. Kicks up. Oh, it's flicked off the top of the net. It's gone wide and it's juice.
Thanks for all your tweets and your emails that have come flooding through again today, and we'd appreciate them tonight as we sit through 3, 4 or maybe 5 sets of this blockbuster. You can tweet us at @radio_RG, @radio_RG, and you can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr. That's frenchopenradio@fft.fr.
Second surface at Spazit Juice from 15:40 down. Serves down the tee. The backhands are played through the middle. Tsitsipas. Oh, the net is being clipped. It shows you how low they are trying to get it over the net. They don't want to leave a lot of air between the net and the ball, but there's been an awful lot flying off it.
Yeah. The narrowest of margins can make the biggest of differences. And here's a third break point in this third game of the first set for Alcaraz.
Second serve to look at. Ball girl scuttles forward, scoops it up back to her place beside the net. Second serve. Alcaraz jumps, stays, lays into the back and cross court inside the service line. It lands and cross court onto the service line. It lands. This one is going deeper and deeper. The Alcaraz balls. He has to slide into that back and inside in from Tsitsipas. Too good.
Loving this from Tsitsipas, I have to say. He's being tested early on, and so far at least he's coming up with the answers when he has to, not afraid to move forward to try and dictate the points as best he can. And he finished that off with a flourishing forehand that Alcaraz went stretching for but was never going to get back into play.
Well, if they replicate what we saw at the US Open in 2021, it's good you've had a nap, because we could be here a while.
Yes, that round of 32 match will stay in everyone's mind for a long time to come.
But he has to block that double fault out of his mind pretty quickly and move on, Tsitsipas.
Alcaraz won that match 6-3, 4-6, 7-6 by 7 points to 2 in a tiebreak. Love 6. And then in the final set by 7 points to 5 in the tiebreak.
Another opportunity to break the Tsitsipas serve. First serve misses. Oof, that ball tees off. Luckily it avoided everybody. The ball boy scoops it up. One more night session to come tomorrow night. Very deep second serve, but no call came. So the point continues. The forehand slapped cross court for the winner. The point, the break. And Carlos Alcaraz has the early advantage in this quarter final. He leads 2-1 with the break.
And if you're a Stefanos Tsitsipas fan, well, obviously don't start panicking yet. This is a 5-set match. There's an awful long way to go. But your guy has played really well in his opening 3 games. He's been as purposeful as possible. That one double fault clearly at a key moment didn't help the cause. But Alcaraz is settling straight away. You know, you have to discard the fact that he's still only 20 years of age. He's through to the quarterfinals here for the second year running. He is the world number one. He's won a Grand Slam title, albeit on a hard court in New York last year. He missed the Australian Open at the start of this year, so he's keen to make up for lost time after that injury. We know his movement is phenomenal. We know his striking ability is out of this world. And when he gets a head start like this, you have to wonder what Tsitsipas is going to do.
Mrs. Bear travels. It's time for Alex Kurecha watch with stalker Marcus Buckland. She said, I'm not the stalker, you are called the stalker.
I'm not the stalker.
Is he or isn't he? Will he or won't he? I think he is doing the interview on Chatrier. Got to be, right?
He's got a smart shirt on with very impressive silver cufflinks.
And you say,
Mesdames et Messieurs, installez-vous.
With Alcaraz involved, he surely has to be going down there to do it, right?
Well, yes, but then again, that could seem to be applying a bit of bias, especially if Tsitsipas wins.
They're just planning. Maybe he speaks Greek as well.
I think you're right. I think he is going to do it. The shirt is smart.
S'il vous plaît.
But then again, he's one of those elegant fellas that can look smart in a creased t-shirt and a pair of Y-fronts, I imagine.
I'm glad you added those two words at the end of that sentence. Oh dear. Serve down the tee. It's Alcaraz with the break, and he spins the point. Sits up high, brought down, sort of slapped cross court, and on the angle from Alcaraz, squash shot from Tsitsipas down the line. back is Alcaraz, who goes down the other line with the back and the sliding Tsitsipas. He's at full stretch Tsitsipas. Now he gathers himself for the backhand cross court. Oh, backhand line winner from Alcaraz. He just ratcheted up about two or three extra gears and it flew past Tsitsipas.
Pure quality. He just exudes brilliance with everything he does. He lent into that. Winner from the moment it left the racket. Tsitsipas is scratching his head a little, just adjusting that long hair underneath the headband. Within, there could be a degree of angst and inner turmoil already, I suspect, for the Greek superstar.
15 love. Do get in touch with us. Let us know where you're listening to this. As Alcaraz's ace is down the tee. So, just love, we've had everyone sort of been gardening when I was on earlier. And some people might still be, depending where they are in the world. But what are you up to? What are you doing? And who are you backing for the win? Has the band left? They were here earlier.
I'm sure they'll come back. I hope they will.
There's a gentleman standing in front of the scoreboard up there, which is not that useful. The slice ball through the middle, the drop shot from Alcaraz, first of many, picked up by Tsitsipas, cannot find the court. Has so much in his locker.
Yes, in fact, there are three people standing directly in front of the giant screen, which at the moment is showing us a replay of that latest moment of wonder from Carlos Alcaraz. But you're right, he's blocking out Tsitsipas' score in the game.
Yeah. Sit down. Let me serve out wide. We had Stefan doing some flashing last night to try and...
Beg your pardon?
Oh, the lights of the... Like Morse code sort of
flashing. Oh, I see.
Maybe we could do that. Catch his eye and he'll sit down. Serve down the tee. A lofted ball back onto the sideline. And Alcaraz immediately puts his foot through the mark.
Lizzie in... Utah's been in touch, says the grunting sounds like an out call. It's a little harder to follow than usual, so we will endeavour to make things crystal clear with a commentary.
As Marcus points towards me. Game points. Silence. And Alcaraz serves down the tee. It's flicked back. Left to easy, short, high ball. Put away by Alcaraz, holds the 50, and as he turns to his box, he does lots and lots and lots of fist pumps because what he's done, most importantly, is consolidated his early break.
When you said silence, was that directed at me to be silent, or were you saying there was a spot of silence before the serve? I just want to make sure I can come in at this stage.
Wasn't you?
No.
Wasn't you?
Okay.
Not after 16 minutes. Maybe if you're here for 5 hours and 16 minutes.
Mitali says, so glad my fave duo is calling this match. Marcus, how would you pronounce... Now, I heard you talking about this earlier. I mean, it's Maryland to the face of things, but it's not. It's something completely different, isn't it?
Not helping.
Maryland or... Maryland. Maryland, I believe it is.
It's just the way it's said so quickly. The return of serve from Carlos Alcaraz couldn't have got any deeper. It shot up almost into the face of Tsitsipas, who couldn't get his body out the way. The reflex was at the back end. It goes long and it's love 15.
Needless to say, Mitali, I'd have got it wrong.
I did, over and over again.
There's been a couple of difficult names. There's a gentleman in the crowd. Suggests he's had a good afternoon and offers some support. What do you think of the show so far?
Yeah, I don't mean that in a like a root you Muppet. As in, he sounds like a Muppet. Heavy serve, does the job for Tsitsipas. That sits a round of applause from the crowd. They're here for the long haul, this lot. They want to see five sets.
Well, they've just seen a fourth ace from the Greek. He's under the cosh early on. Hello to Matthew. He's been in touch in a very regular manner this fortnight.
I still think Matthew is you. Backhand flick cross court because it goes above the roof on Chatrier. And Tsitsipas just follows it in case it snuck over when it landed.
It actually got a lot nearer to the net than I thought it was going to because it was so high. Flying off the frame of the racket, Matthew says, I'm back. I'm Alcaraz all the way in this one. He is the future of the men's game. Do we agree? Hard to disagree on that.
30-15. There's another young man who I think is part of that future playing tomorrow night. And the pass on the run from Alcaraz. It's just too good. Again, it is too good. And you know, the other thing is quite durable on Kretcher Watch is how excited he is getting with the play. You know, that's fascinating to see how excited he is getting with the points from Alcaraz.
Well, I mean, he was a quality performer. As we know, Gigi, he got to number two in the world, not as some suggested, number four. So he could play the game. And when you can play it to a high level, you appreciate others doing something similar, if not even better.
As you rattled off his low lights to him.
Big forehand winner from Tsitsipas. Yes, if you weren't with us the other night, it was a little bit strange. We've been making reference to the great Alex Krejcik, a two-time Roland Garros runner-up, in the next booth. We didn't realise that Nick, good friend of ours in America, Nick McCarville, was listening, got in touch with Alex Krejcik, said, they're talking about you. And the next minute, he burst into our booth, and we were wondering whether we would require legal advice. Have we said anything untoward? Fortunately, it was a very friendly exchange.
Game point for Tsitsipas at 1-3. Tsitsipas goes heavy on his inside out four, and it's a high spinny ball. Sits up, brought down by Tsitsipas. Spun cross court on the angle. Drop shot. Oh, that was an absolute delight and a great change up from Tsitsipas. But that's how good it's got to be.
Yeah.
Closes out the game 3-2 Alcaraz.
Oh, the most delicate of touches mid-court from Tsitsipas. No wonder everyone's standing up and applauding him. He's walking back slowly. He's got that swagger, that little je ne sais quoi about the way he moves. He's moving fine at the moment. His only problem is that he's up against probably the best mover in the business right now, and that's why he's a breakdown. John Rogers has been in touch. He says, Alcaraz in three. I'm only saying that because I'm zonked and I need to hit the hay early. I know how you feel, John. I was on first this morning. I'm on first tomorrow. I'm late tomorrow. Anyway, Jolly's also been in touch.
Just one thing on that. When you left here at 1 o'clock, I would assume you're back in your hotel room by 1:30. I actually sent you a WhatsApp message about the rotor change. This was at 5:30. You hadn't looked at your WhatsApp since 2:15. So something tells me you were fast asleep.
No, I was so caught up in my attention to detail over the ace count and the service percentages of Alcaraz and Tsitsipas that I had no time for my phone. I might have drifted off listening to Eleanor and Chris Bowers. I heard Chris Bowers moaning about accusations levelled against him that he's occasionally work shy, but I notice he's done his last shift for the week for us.
Yes.
So he wants just a few days to chill out now, does he?
He's doing the world feed commentary TV. He is quite sharpish to leave when I turn up hoping just to eat my pineapple, because that is my dinner, and he's already standing up saying, oh geez, he's walked in through the middle of the court. Oof. And the bounce on that ball got it all wrong. The ball ends up going behind Tsitsipas into the presidential tribune. So Tsitsipas walks forward to the marquee scene on the clay and just rubs his... Oh, there's a dog, Marcus. There's a dog.
Ah.
Hello. Look at that.
Oh, it's a guide dog.
Oh,
fantastic. Beautiful guide dog.
Isn't he beautiful?
Looking after a gentleman who, I guess, is part of the...
commentary team. We have a service of commentary for the blind. Can't this year. Seen him in the commentary box.
Well,
oh, that dog's eyeing you up weirdly, though. I've got to say, I think it's a clever dog. He's saying, stay away from that man there.
Friends.
I hear you.
Friends.
3-2, 30 love. Oh, serves down the D. The backhand flick is very, very deep. It's sort of flat and lofted by Alcaraz, and then adds the spin this time. And the backhand cross court. That's all you can say.
He has just launched into an inside-in forehand winner that screamed over the net and had flashed away from Tsitsipas before he even thought of trying to get towards it.
It had flames coming out of it. 40 love. Pigeon flies towards us.
We're not allowed to mention pigeons.
Sure. It's still looking for that man that filmed him and his girlfriend the other day.
Have you ever seen Alfred Hitchcock's horror film The Birds?
Don't like horror films.
No.
I mean, I know what it's...
It's horrible, and I'm starting to fear that pigeons may wish to extract revenge on me and that I could be pinned up.
I don't blame them.
No, it'd be a horrible way to go. Oh, dear.
Alicia Hart has emailed, nothing to do with pigeons. I've been listening to the fantastic radio broadcasting from Roland Garros for years now. Kudos for all the great work. As the corner is found by Alcaraz, he gets a high ball, he steps back. It's long, he takes the first point of game seven. Thanks for bringing the turbo to to my desk at work in Fort Worth in Arkansas.
Well, Well, it's just exciting for us to be going all around the world. We'd love to hear where you are, what you're doing. For us, everywhere is exotic, even Catford. I think you did finally find a Catford in Southeast London, listener. But tell us where you are, what you're doing, what captivates you about Roland Garros, who you're cheering tonight, anything that struck you over the first 10 days, I think, and what you're looking forward to for the rest of the week. Plus a few strange subjects that we occasionally deviate towards.
Occasionally. Through the middle of the court with the server, the net at the inside in wasn't in the right position. Quite flat-footed and front-on.
Oh, Alex is... He's now showing us various tweets that have come through.
Oh, that we're talking about.
Yes, about him. There's no escape. He must think we're absolutely mad.
Oh, yes. Did you see that on Twitter? It was one of our listeners copied him in with a picture. Oh, was that the one about us stalking? Oh, that's one where you were called a stalker.
No.
The volley from Tsitsipas, the backhand cross court into the net goes Tsitsipas.
Oh, that's why that dog's here. That's a police dog.
Alex Krejcik has retweeted, it's time for Alex Krejcik Watch to start on Radio RG with Gigi Salmon, stalker Marcus Buckley. Is he or isn't he? Really or won't he? Place your bets.
Can we get a curtain, please?
Oh, the beautiful dogs come inside.
I think I'm off. I'm being arrested. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Quel appel de le chien?
You've got your headphones on.
Nipia. Ah, Nipia. Bonsoir, Nipia.
While you were stroking the dog, Alex Crutch and I exchanged shocked glances at Carlos Alcaraz breaking the serve of Tsitsipas to love. And Alex Crutch just took his headphones off and said, "My God." I've told you, it's just, I'm not stalking
coming.
Him, but his
he's
emotions,
coming in here. He's coming.
His excitement, if he comes in. Can we just put these on for 2 seconds? We need to get, so pop them up. Is he on? Alex.
Hello, everyone.
This is phenomenal.
This is unreal. I mean, have you seen that passing shot running forehand? We used to see that with Rafa Nadal.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now we have Carlos Alcaraz. Of course, Rafa. Hopefully, he's going to come back. But that's amazing, the powerful he's got. And, I mean, the intensity he brings into the game. And hello, everyone, by the way.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Can I just make one thing clear? You've seen that tweet. I am not stalking you, Alex. I want that to be very
clear. It's a joke. Yeah. I'm starting to be afraid of you guys.
Yes.
I'm going to start calling security.
You're going to put a curtain up, aren't you, by tomorrow?
Yeah, curtain, or even worse, like something like locked or something.
Can you just set one thing straight? Are you doing the on-court after this? Because we try that sort of game every night.
Unfortunately, I'm not tonight. I think Marion Bartoli is doing it. I will do it off-court. So I won't be the one doing the on-court interview.
How you got from here to Susan Longland last night?
Running like crazy. Running.
You were slightly out of breath with your first question.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
Of course.
You said, a round of applause.
Can you give me... my colleague might be talking to me already live on Eurosport Spain, but it's fine. Yeah, because they told me, like, can you just go, please? Because we need you, because Mats Wilander cannot do the interview. And I'm like, yeah, of course I can make it. And it's... I say, what's the score? And they say, match point. Oh, dear me. But anyway.
We couldn't believe you made it. We're very impressed.
Can I ask you one more quick question, a proper tennis question, because you've been there, you've done it. I'm not suggesting you had losing records against many of your opponents, but Tsitsipas has lost all four of their previous meetings. He's already 5-2 down in less than 27 minutes, despite the fact that he's played quite well. What can you do in these circumstances to keep believing?
Unfortunately, it depends much more on Carlos' game than in Stefanos. I think he needs to try to play as aggressive as he started, even if he's going to make more mistakes than normal. But if he plays normal on regular basis, he might lose, because Carlos got all the weapons to hurt him. So off the backhand side, up high, he struggles. So I don't think he needs to change that much into the forehand of Carlos. From the forehand, I feel like from time to time, Stefanos, he likes to go one backhand and he switches right away to the forehand, and then they open up the court, and then he leaves too much door open with the backhand. So I think I will stick a little bit more into backhand of Carlos, and then see if he can play a little bit short. But he's got all the answers for his questions, unfortunately, just for Stefanos, for the moment.
Another
guys, I
gotta
go, but your response
I can hear your producer screaming
Alex,
from here.
Alex,
where are you?
Alex, where are you, Alex?
See you later. Bye.
Thank you so much, Alex. Promise, no more stalking.
40 love. He broke Stefanos Tsitsipas to love. Now has triple set point. We're going to hear from Novak Djokovic at the end of this set. Producer, Alex. 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 Alex, you there? Alex.
It's good that he knows I'm not a stalker. Can't believe it's three set points already for Alcaraz. 29 minutes off.